All right, you can be turning your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Good morning. I don't like being quite so far away up there. I don't speak that much anymore, so I want to be close. Amen. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad that our thing is once a year. Oh, we made it. We're here. Welcome to New Jersey region of the New York City Church of Christ. Bring forward. Amen. We are very glad to be together. I love our singing and just the opportunity that we have to be together and worship God. As Rob mentioned, next Sunday we're back here, then beginning Easter Sunday we're back at Clifton High School until the summer. Actually, Mary Lou and I will be gone the next couple of Sundays. We'll be in Nashville Thursday, where I grew up. Most of you know, it's kind of the story of my best friend who was killed in an accident at 22 back in 1970. And his mom became my mom. I didn't have a mom. Anyway, her birthday's Thursday, 99 years old. Still lives by herself. Still takes care of herself. He told me one time she was baptized at 14, 85 years ago almost. Anybody in here been a Christian 85 years? Something to shoot for, right? And then on Friday, we'll go on to Los Angeles where our son has a birthday. He can tell you how old he is if he wants. And then Saturday, our grandson there has a birthday. It'll be 17, which is pretty crazy. And then we have an elders workshop next week, and then we'll go back to Brian's for a couple of days after that and be there on Easter. So we appreciate your prayers, and we'll miss being here with you, but I'm glad they're having a meeting in L.A. It gives us a great opportunity to visit our son, not that we needed a special opportunity. And Mark chapter 7, as we're thinking about this year, all about Jesus, I want us to look at a little story in Jesus' life. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 31. And it says, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre, went down through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ear. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which meant be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed. He began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. They said about Jesus, he has done everything well. And that was a comment just not only about this situation, but I think, obviously, how he lived his life. Things don't always in this world work out the way we think they should. This is kind of a small thing, but back before Christmas, we realized that we needed to have our hot water heater replaced. Some of you know how to do that yourself. I gave up on some of those things a long time ago because I always really, really mess it up. It's better to pay somebody the first time to do it instead of to pay them to undo what I did and then do it. So I called a very reputable company. I'm not going to tell you who. And we were having all of our family coming for Christmas. And, you know, I realized the water heater was 20 years old. Time to do this. So I had a conversation with the salesperson about whether to get a 40-gallon or a 50-gallon. Decided on the 50-gallon. And we were going to have 17 people in our house for 10 days. Made an appointment for them to come. They came. Very wonderful technicians. They brought a 40-gallon. Okay, well. Well, I requested a 50 gallon. They were very nice. They went back somewhere far away, took back the 40 gallon, brought a 50 gallon, put it in. We made arrangements about the payment. They have a payment plan. Don't you love zero interest payment plans? So I said, let's put this amount on my credit card, just get that done with, and I'll pay this amount off over the next few months. Signed a paper that said all of that. You with me? Then I get my credit card statement. I always look at that thing, I'm telling you. And they had charged the whole amount to my credit card. I mean, I could handle it, but I'm like, that's not what I wanted to do. So I call customer service, got a very nice lady. I was very nice. Explained the situation. She was apologetic. And I'll fix it. And they did fix it. All right, then, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later, I get in the mail from this company my permit so that I can call my township and get it inspected. So I see the permit. I notice it says 5 Woodland Road, and I live on 5 Woodland Drive. So I call my township, a very nice lady. She said, no, this permit is for somebody somewhere else. This is not your permit. So I call again the customer service of the hot water heater place. I'm still very nice. And, you know, that lady was like, boy, a lot of bad stuff that is happening to you from us. Yes, yes. Not life-threatening, life-changing. Annoying, though. Because I got the wrong permit. And so, okay, we'll fix it. And I decided, there are a lot of lovely things you can find out on the internet. I would write a little letter to the president of the company. It was a very nice letter. It was complimentary. The technicians were wonderful. They knew what they were doing. They fixed the mistake. But let me tell you the things that happened. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I got a call the next day after the letter arrived from their sales manager. Oh, very sorry. I just wanted you to know. We had a nice talk. Turns out he sent us a fruit basket a couple of days later. And I asked him about the permit. He said, well, it takes about 30 days. And he said, if it doesn't come, call me. Well, that's been 8 weeks ago. So before I leave for our trip for Nashville, I have all my things to do. Just need to let him have a little call that we still haven't gotten our permit. Okay, this story, what is the point of all this story? This is the world, isn't it? It's just the world. I wasn't mad. I was a little bit mad, I guess. But it didn't come out at them. I was really restrained. But this is the world we live in, isn't it? It's just kind of the way things are in terms of doing everything well. That doesn't happen a lot of times in our world. Now, Jesus, people saw, did everything well. As we're thinking about all about Jesus in this year, we've had some great messages. Kay Sam Perkins talked about how much God loves us and Jesus loves us. And that is just like the foundational thing we need to know about Jesus, right? The cross, how much we're loved. Other messages. Mike Fix came and talked to us about forgiveness. Jesus is definitely all about forgiveness. And our hearts were challenged and touched about the need to forgiveness. Marcus talked a couple of Sundays ago about Jesus being the great healer. And he is. When I was a kid, we used to sing this song, "The Great Physician Now Is Here, Jesus." Last week, Guy Hammond, oh my goodness, moved our hearts with the power of Jesus to change lives. And as we think today about Jesus, we do want to not necessarily change gears, but talk a little bit about our response. The reason we look at Jesus is to do what? Be like Him. It's not just intellectual knowledge we're trying to get about Jesus, but we are trying to imitate Him and take on His nature. And Peter says God's given us His promises so that we can partake in the divine nature. We can become like Him and escape the corruption in the world that comes from evil desires. And there are many responses to being like Jesus, to the life of Jesus. Belief and repentance and baptism and commitment and discipleship and love and so many things. But I want us this morning to think for a few minutes about a very specific response to Jesus and the cross. And that's being our best for God. Jesus did everything well. God deserves our best, doesn't He? In the Old Testament, they were asked, required to bring the best to sacrifice to God. The first fruits of their crops. The best lamb. The best sacrifices. You know, there are practical ways that we are our best for God. Look at a couple of verses right quick in Ephesians chapter 6 that are very specific but give us a principle. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 5, Paul says, "Slaves, obey your masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ. Doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he's slave or free." Look over to Colossians, a similar passage, and then we'll talk about it in a minute. Over Colossians chapter 3. In verse 22, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters." This is Colossians 3:22. "In everything, do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." The horror of slavery. But it's interesting that Paul gives a principle far beyond that scenario. The principle that what we do for the Lord. This applies to us as students. This applies to us as employees, as employers, as neighbors. What we do, we are doing for the Lord. And so we try to do and be our best. You know, students, some of you go to school. Amen. You need to do your best, don't you? Look, if you're a, let me just be real. If you're a C student, because that's the best you can do, amen. If you're a C student because you've been lazy and you should make A's and you don't go to class and you don't do your homework, well, not good, right? You know, being a Christian means we should be better at what we do. Yes, we're trying to reach out to people. We're involved in each other's lives. We're doing a lot of stuff, but can you imagine Jesus as a student? Now, their system was very different from ours, so let's take a little liberty here. Can you imagine Jesus showing up in, 10th grade, homework? Ooh, I forgot. Oh, my dog ate it. Don't you imagine him kind of being the best? As we work in this world, most of you have not figured out how to be independently wealthy yet, right? We got to work for somebody. Don't you believe we, in response to Jesus, should be the best employees where we work? Perfect? No, you'll never be that. But responding to mistakes and learning and growing? Because we're doing it for Jesus. I remember being so impressed when I first went in the ministry way back in Homestead, Florida, back in 1974. There was one of the elders of the church there, a couple of men who really believed in me. I'm just forever grateful to them, but he was a building contractor. Self-made man, not educated man, very spiritual man, but had a little construction company, some commercial, a lot of residential. I watched several things happen. One, it got real big, dozens and dozens of employees, and he cut way back. He said, no, I want it to be me and my son, my partner and his son, because we know the quality that we can control. Several things happened. I remember one time his telling me he had bid on a job and some of the equipment that he needed, the materials, came in several thousand dollars less than he thought they were going to cost. And so he went to the man hiring him and said, this is going to cost less because it's costing me less. And the man was like, you're kidding me, right? People don't do this. I never would have known. Roland said, well, I would have known. That's what it means to be a Christian on a job. You know, it's interesting because 1992, Hurricane Andrew swept across the bottom of South Florida. Much, much devastation. When the phones were finally in order, I called this brother, this friend, how are you doing? And he said, I have so much work, you won't believe it. He said, he kind of said this shyly. People looked around and they saw the houses that were still standing after the hurricane, and they were the ones that I built. That's what it means to be a disciple, right? There are a lot of examples of that in here. I was just thinking about my early days, when we were in the ministry in Pueblo, Colorado, in a great big campus ministry, and somebody got a job at Denny's. Okay, this wasn't being a manager. This was, washing dishes and all that kind of stuff. Different things, servers and so forth. And we found out that the managers at Denny's said to the campus ministry kids, anybody from your church who wants a job, I'll give it to them. Why? Because they got there on time. They showed up when they were supposed to show up. They worked hard. Isn't that the way disciples ought to be? In our neighborhood, when we moved to Pueblo, Colorado, we bought a house that had belonged to the church. And it had been the preacher's house for 20, 25 years. The congregation, when it had been started, it actually met in this house. In the upstairs, unfinished, and there was a preacher living in the basement. So it was nice. There was an extra kitchen in the basement. Okay, so we bought this house. Well, did we get an earful from the neighbors who had had the preachers of the church live there for about the one that never mowed his grass? About the one that left the rototiller in the yard all winter? I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to watch myself. Because there's not a very good reputation in this neighborhood. That was really sad. Here's the thing. We're ambassadors for Christ. People are watching. And, God is honored when we give our best. A look at Matthew 3 for a minute. I'm sorry, not Matthew. Malachi. You can go to Matthew and back up a book. Malachi chapter 3. Chapter 1. I'm sorry. Chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, they're having a conversation with the prophet about how God feels about them, and he feels that they show contempt. And in the middle of verse 7, it says, you ask, how have we defiled you? The answer, by saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for service, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased? Would he accept you? Lord Almighty. Here's a concept here. Okay, we don't live under the animal sacrifice law. Amen. But the concept. God says, would your governor be happy? Would you honor your governor by how you're treating me? Okay, let's put this in an even more, relatable scenario. All right, you're going to have somebody over to eat. If you could have anybody over to eat at your house that you really, really admire, not even maybe in a spiritual sense, like a sports figure or an entertainment figure or whatever your thing is. Think about it for a minute. I may ask you, who would you want to have over that, like these questions, if you could have anybody in your home, who would it be? Anybody got somebody? Who would you want to have over? Yeah. Say again. Okay, Seth Curry. Amen. Yeah, somebody else. Who do you want to have over? Paul McCartney. Now I go with that one. I know he is. Yes. Obama. President Obama. Wow, she's going for the up there, you know. Let's take Paul McCartney. I appreciate President Obama, but I'm related. This is my era here, the Beatles. Kind of everybody's era, isn't it? You do know who Paul McCartney is, right? We're all together. Okay. All right. So Mark and Margaret, they're musicians and they're going to have him over. Suppose he knocks on the door and they say, oh, we forgot. Think that's going to happen? Or, oh, we knew you were coming. We got kind of busy. Did you bring any food with you? There's a KFC down the road, and next to that's a Burger King. I can give you $5. That's all I can give you. Or he knocks on the door, and you come in like, this place is a mess. I've been to their house. It's not a mess. You got the vacuum cleaner in the middle of the floor, and you got all the dishes in the sink, and you got all this stuff. How would he feel? Would you do that? I hope not, too. I don't think they would. You get what God's saying? We understand when we want to honor someone and make something special for somebody. And God's saying, you're not treating me that way. Wow, that's pretty intense, isn't it? Because of Jesus, we give our best. I believe there's a lot of best giving going around here. I do believe that. Many, many, many respects. I appreciate so much the people in the full-time ministry that Mary Lou and I get to work with here in New Jersey and their heart for God, but the hard work that comes from that. Russ is up preaching in Lower Westchester today. I want to tell you, Russ and Sari, I know you know this. They work hard. They work hard for you, for God. Awesome, Manami. Manami's on maternity leave. We're not a corporation, but we do have a little maternity leave for a little time, and you're next, Chelsea. Amen. Our young people, it never crosses my mind to wonder, are the Lippincotts, are the Novaks, John, are they working hard? Or are they just watching TV? Ross and Manami work hard. For our youth, for our worship. Rob and Chelsea, I think this is a result of God working through their hard work. And let me back up. Rob graduated from college last May, almost a year ago. He was on the multi-year plan. That was awesome. But, after he became a Christian, he went from grades to graduating magna cum laude. I don't know if we ever said that. And also while working full-time in the ministry. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about here. We have a lot of people that work hard. I appreciate our deacons. A lot of stuff happens here week after week that doesn't just happen. It happens because people are responsible and they're taking it seriously and they're responding to Jesus and doing things well. And all of you who are small group leaders and ushers, worship team and children's ministry, and I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. I believe we are a group that responds to the challenge. I hope you've noticed in your newsletter, we ask everybody to think about what you're giving. And we are giving more consistently because you thought about it. You prayed about it. You did something about it. That's the church we're a part of. I believe that. And I've been so proud of you. I just felt like a, I don't know, proud dad or something. When the Mike Fix came and Guy Hammond came, and they're just like, this place is amazing. It is amazing. When you look around and just see the faces. First of all, see so many different kinds of faces is awesome. And people who love God and are working hard for God. And I am so very appreciative and proud and humbled to be a part of this group. And I mentioned two things that I think we're not doing that well in. If you're our guest this morning, we're family. You're part of our family talk now for just a minute. You know, and I want to say that, as you can see, we've got several evangelists, and we don't just rotate Sundays, but we do take, we plan our Sundays way ahead of time. We know who's going to be preaching from now through the end of June, and we talk about our topics and all that. And one of the things that I want to talk about today is being on time, and I planned that, we planned that a long time ago before I realized this was the time change day. So let me give that disclaimer. Not necessarily talking about today. I think in giving our best for God. Guys, we've got to talk about two things right quickly. One is being on time, and one is the children's ministry. Do you think Jesus was late to a lot of appointments? Do you think people say, you know, he'll be here eventually. He's always 10 or 15 minutes late. Do you think that? I don't think that. Backing up, his carpenter shop. Do you think they produced a lot of three-legged tables? Wobbled? You think people had to say, do I get a money-back guarantee because this thing, the drawers won't open or the door won't close right? I think doing all things well is a very encompassing concept for Christians. As you know, usually when we start our service, when we start singing, about half of us are here. And it's a habitual thing. And I believe we can do better. I believe, let me say this, as lovingly as I can, but as directly, I do not believe that honors God. And I don't believe it encourages the rest of us. You know what, again, it's interesting. We go to movies, we go to Broadway shows. You know, they don't let you in after it starts. We get there. I know you got kids. We really did have three kids one time. We still do. They just each have three kids now. I don't know. I can't remember. You know. Them sleep in their clothes, something. I don't know. For some of you, it is habitual. And I can't believe that that many people are late for work every single day, unless you just like looking for new jobs. Because we understand. There, I need to be there. I think we can fix this. We haven't talked about it in a long time, but sort of discount this morning. It was a little inceptional, being in a different place, and this stinking old time change. But you know, if you're always coming in late, and you know the difference when you feel like you come in and you get to talk to a few people, and you get yourself ready to worship, or you're just like, oh my goodness, and running. We can fix that. The second thing I think is the children's ministry. Look, the children's ministry is so awesome. These are our kids and our grandkids. I know I wanted this for our children, and now I want it for their children. That coming to kids' kingdom is just a fun, exciting thing they want to do. I appreciate so many who give of their hearts. I got to say, sometimes we feel like it's like pulling teeth to get people to teach. I'm sorry, Maxine, wherever you are, we got a dentist here. Got to use that pulling teeth thing. That's not a good comparison, maybe, but you get the point. Look, we can do this. If you're a parent and you haven't taught, I appreciate the people who are teaching who do not have children in the kids' kingdom. And I'm telling you, you know, we've got a new rotation. I see Maisha here, single professional woman who just got through teaching. And Beverly Murray and Maxine, Lisa Azalea, several people that don't have, whose kids are beyond the age of the children's ministry now. A lot of, there are people down there today who are teaching. I went to Nancy and Joe Reyes and said, wow, thank you for being here. They've got kids in our teen ministry. They're teaching. Everybody's busy. If you're not busy, tell me how you got that way. Maybe it's good. Maybe you figured something out. Maybe you're not doing what you, I don't know. We need you. Greg Blank needs security people. Security, all you do is stand back there and make sure nobody does anything bad. You're not armed or anything, but you just, you know, you just check the badges to make sure the parents are picking up the right kids. It doesn't require a lot of extra preparation. You just need to be there. Yeah, the heart to serve. And Greg's done this week after week after week after week. This is the first time he's been to service in a long time. Help him out. You know, we've got a new setup. You may not know this. All the kids go to basically a children's worship for the first half hour or so, Chris. And they're all together, and they sing, and they have a lesson and a lot of different things before they go to their classes. It's a thing that seems to be working great. The kids love it. The teachers love it. I'm saying that to say it makes the teacher's preparation easy. Because you don't have an hour and a half. You've got a big chunk of that. When you're together with the other teachers and the kids, we keep trying to figure out how to make this, I guess you'd say, more user-friendly. It still requires a lot of work and a heart to serve. Some of you who used to teach, maybe feel like we don't need you anymore. We do. We do. We do. We do. I think we can fix that too. Because this group always I've been in this group 12 years now. That's not forever, but it's the longest I've ever lived any place since I was a kid. And this group always responds to the need. Jesus did everything well. Let's wind this up. We can do better. Being on time, children's ministry, not to negate all the other things that happen. I appreciate we got some college students teaching now. Amen. Thank you to those people downstairs. This is all of our thing. You know, our kids. You know, Jesus did everything well. He deserves our best. I love that song. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Look what He did for us. Look what God did for us. Let me close with this. The singers, if you can make your way up there, we're going to sing Oh Happy Day in a minute. This is a great song. Remind us of the day for those of us who are Christians when Jesus washed our sins away and we got a new life and we learned the things I'm not doing well in, I'm going to try to live a balanced life and do better and do better. Look what God gave for us. God gave His Son. You know, I don't know. I probably mentioned to you some time or place that we've got 9 grandchildren. You know that? We loved our kids. There's just a whole different thing about grandchildren. Some of you know that. Can't describe it. Not necessarily better, just different. I'm telling you, Friday night, I went to the campus fundraiser. I had a date with my 10-year-old granddaughter, Hannah. We're driving there. She's in that time where sometimes the back seat, sometimes the front seat. She's kind of getting that age, so she asked me how long it was going to be. She said, well, I think I'll sit in the back seat. I didn't take that personally, like, okay, amen. I don't know, I got this weird feeling. I want you to know, Holly, every time my grandchildren are in the car and I'm driving, I pray for them. I don't pray to them, for them, that's with them. I pray. Look, I've been driving a car since before most of you were born. I think I'm a pretty good driver. Going home. But you know, there's a lot of craziness out there. You You can be a good driver if all you got is you on the road. And I had this kind of, pit in my stomach feeling Friday night, like Hannah's in the back seat. First she's doing her iPad, and then she's talking to me. We're chattering. I thought, Lord, please, don't let me have an accident. I couldn't live with myself if I caused something to happen to me. That's a real feeling parents know. And grandparents really know. God gave His Son to die. We do everything possible to protect our children and our grandchildren from harm. God gave His Son. Because we needed it. The Son who did everything well. And our response is just to try to be like Him. To live the kind of balanced lives that that bring honor to Him. That people look at us and say, you're different. When you tell somebody on your job, I'd like to invite you to church, and they don't say, are you kidding me? You're a Christian? Who say, I knew there was something about you. I've seen how you do your job. I've seen how you get here. That's affecting the world, isn't it? Because of the happy day when we became Christians. Jesus did everything